Do you notice the songs that we sang today? Bill picked out some songs with a theme. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me. Get that? Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. And then he followed that with, sing to me of heaven. And one of the things that people notice when they come to visit us is that we don't have an organ, we don't have a piano, we don't have a guitar. When we were at Timbers, one of the experiences I had at Timbers, we had started one of the, this is a few months ago, started our singing. Carl was leading us some singing, and there was a lady who was her first time there, and she said, "Oh, this is a cappella. I'll have to work." I thought, "Ha, that's good. She has observed something maybe the rest of us haven't seen." It is incorrect to say we're non-musical. We're very musical. As a matter of fact, I think just about everybody here loves music. And we enjoy being able to sing together. We have our Bible studies on Wednesday night, Sunday night, always preceded with some singing. There are times when we have a Bible class that's just singing. And most of us are very familiar with some of the shows like the Bill Gaither series. We enjoy that. But we need to look at this question of music a little bit more deeply. First of all, a definition. I want you to listen to this definition. What is music? The dictionary says music is a succession of sounds produced to stimulate a desired effect. You know, the more I think about that, the more I think that describes every facet of music we enjoy. A succession of sounds produced to stimulate a desired effect. One of the vicissitudes of old age is that we still like some of the old stuff. Like last night, Lawrence Welk, yeah, I know, that's really old age. Lawrence Welk had Gershwin. I love the music of George Gershwin. And I even got Cindy to sit down and listen to some of it. Why do we do that? Wasn't it about us as human beings that causes us to like music? Most of you know, one of my specialty areas is anthropology. One of the areas that I have studied extensively is man's relationship to God and why and how we are in God's image. And one of the areas that we are in God's image is our capacity to create. To create art. To create music. If you've seen my presentations, you know I have had an extensive study of a gorilla named Coco, who was supposedly trained to create artistic pictures. And Penny Patterson, who was the trainer of the gorilla, went into the gorilla's cage and put up an easel and took a paintbrush and hit the easel a couple of times with it to show the gorilla what to do. And then she handed the gorilla a paintbrush dipped in yellow paint, and the gorilla did what she did. He hit the canvas a couple of times. The gorilla speaks the sign language of the deaf, and so she signed banana to the gorilla and pointed to the easel. Well, a couple of weeks later, she held up that same canvas. The gorilla looked at the canvas and said, "Gorilla!" in the sign language of the deaf. And she says, "Aha! Gorillas can create beautiful works of art." The problem with that is when someone walks into the gorilla's cage wearing a yellow smile button, the gorilla points to the smile button and signs banana. When someone walks in wearing a yellow hat, the gorilla points to the hat and signs banana. And we had an interesting experience recently where the gorilla was presented with a yellow kitten, and the gorilla pointed to the kitten and signed banana. Back in psychology 101, they called that Pavlovian conditioning. The gorilla has learned to get a positive response by doing what the trainer wants the gorilla to do. Animals do not create music. That is a characteristic unique to human beings, and it is because of our spiritual makeup. You say, well, I don't know. That cardinal in my backyard in the morning, he's up there singing beautifully. He's joy to the world singing. Really? You know what that gorilla is really doing? What that cardinal is really doing? That cardinal is saying to every male in the area, you stay away from my woman or else. That's a defense mechanism. That has been proven by people who study ornithology. You say, well, whales are singing. No, whales communicate with ultrasound in the below 20 hertz range. So they tell other whales where the food is and who's coming and what's the matter with the situation. Animals do not have the capacity to create music. We have a woodpecker that has decided that my chimney, which is made of steel, is a wonderful drum, according to my neighbor. And sure enough, at 5 o'clock in the morning, he's up there pounding away on that flashing. But what he's doing is he's marking his territory. Wolves howl for a very similar reason. Music has always been used to express our soul, our interest. It's not just sexual, it's not just warning. Music is also a way of communicating, a way of being able to express and experience joy. From a biblical standpoint, music started out early. It's kind of interesting to study this in Scripture. And in your bulletin, I have these Scriptures. You can look at the context of them. The very first mention of music is in Genesis 4 and verse 21, where the Bible tells us Tubal was the father of all who handled the harp and the pipe. Now, we know that vocal music probably preceded that because we have some indication of that in culture studies. But it's also interesting that the whole concept of our use of music began with an instrument which was preserved for us to be aware of. In Genesis 31 and verse 27, we see that music was being used as a party tool. When Jacob was leaving Laban says, why did you not tell me you were leaving so I could send you away with joy, with songs, with melody, with tambourines and playing of the harp? So music was used as a celebration. These things, especially vocal music and praise to God, had to be taught. Do you remember when the Israelites were leaving Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea? In Exodus 15, beginning with verse 20, the Bible tells us, so Miriam, the prophetess, and sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand and all the women with her with tambourines and flutes. And Miriam taught them to sing to the Lord. See, the capacity to sing, and especially to sing praises to God, is something that is taught. Our children need to be taught to sing. And you know, one of the things that I always did with my kids growing up was when we were traveling long distances, we spent half the time singing. And it was a joyous time. Made the miles pass. The kids even made up their own songs. And see, that's what Miriam's doing here. Goes on and says what the subject of their creative singing was. For he has triumphed gloriously and has thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. Yes, she said, have you ever written a song? Have you ever written a song? Why not, if you haven't? It's easy to do. Take one of your prayers and put it to music. Something that you ask for repeatedly. That's what the Psalms are. Man is creative. One of the great capacities we have as human beings, one of the things that uniquely expresses that we are created in the image of God is our capacity to express ourselves in song, and especially in songs to God. In 2 Chronicles 20, beginning with verse 28, we see music moving into the realm of the rulers of nations. We're told there that Jehoshaphat entered Jerusalem with lutes and harps and trumpets, playing for the Lord, and made them rejoice over their enemies. This was a song of celebration. It wasn't worship, it was a song of celebration. Kings had singers and players. In Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 8, Solomon says, I gathered to myself silver and gold, and I got myself men singers and women singers, and the delights of sons and men as musical instruments of all sorts. So music was part of the political system. Isn't it interesting we still do that, don't we?
One of the things I like about the 4th of July celebrations and the Memorial Day celebrations and the Labor Day celebrations is the fact that we always have concerts, usually on the White House lawn, and expressions of great joy at the privilege we have of living in this wonderful country. It also has therapeutic value.
In 1 Samuel 16, beginning with verse 15, we read that Saul had an evil spirit. And David is called because, quote, he was a cunning player of the harp. So it had therapeutic value. I don't know whether you've ever had stress issues or frustration issues. Try music. Try singing. In Lamentations 5 and verse 14, we see that Lamentations tells us in 5:14 that young men at the gate were welcoming people by singing. Of course, it can be used negatively. In Isaiah 23 and verse 16, prostitutes had a song. That is true today as well. One of the things that concerns all of us, always has, is that sometimes music is used destructively. David had a choir. David had an orchestra. Read 1 Chronicles 15, beginning with verse 16 and on through verse 29. And it is mentioned there that skill was involved. We as Christians love music. All kinds of music. You may have a preference for certain types of music, but music is a wonderful thing. But do you know that instruments of music were never used in the temple by the Jews? Music had all these values we've talked about. It was used therapeutically. It was used in situations of praise, of welcome, of joy, or parties. But it was never used in the temple as an instrument because each person was to engage in singing personal praise to God. That is the history of Judaism. Have you ever attended a Jewish service? Especially conservative Jews?
There's a movie that shows it beautifully, The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. You ought to look at that because that's exactly what was done. The Song of Solomon was five scrolls that were read at Jewish feast and at the Passover. All of the Psalms were Psalms. Psalms 12, 20, 38, 136, 118 were songs that were intended to be sung during a worship service. I've got these in your bulletin. Read through them. You might even try singing them. You say, well, the music's not there. For the most part, they sang monotone. We can all sing monotone. You don't have to have skill to do that. And music was a large part of the life of Jesus. One of the things that happened when people died was that there was always music being played at the wake. Which I think is kind of an interesting situation. When my wife died, one of the things that we did was we picked some songs to be sung that either she liked or that expressed my personal feelings. That's biblical, folks. In Matthew 9 and verse 23, when Jesus came to the ruler's house where the little girl had died, instruments were being played. As a matter of fact, one of the terms that is used in the Bible is hallelujah, and I'm told that the literal meaning of that is praise ye Yah, praise you God, praise you Yahweh. And many quotations in the New Testament are right out of Psalms. Luke 1:46, Luke 1:48, 2 Luke 2:29. I've got these again in your bulletin. Read through them. Those were Psalms. And sometimes the Bible even says they were Psalms. So here's the bottom line. What can we as Christians do? Answer. In your privacy, in your home, in your truck, in your car, when you're fishing in the middle of the lake, anything you want. Yesterday, I managed to get stranded in the middle of the St. Joseph River. So here I am rowing against the current, about 2 miles back up to the dock. And it would have been boring, except there was a guy on the other side of the river. We said hello to each other. But what made me stop to talk to him was that he was singing. He had a bunch of lines out. He was fishing. But he was singing. And I asked him why he was singing. He said, I'm a Christian. I always sing. I thought, isn't that interesting? Maybe I need to learn something. In James 5 and verse 13, I've quoted part of James 5 when I was needling Richard a little bit earlier today. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any in good spirits? Let him sing. Now, I think it's pretty much understood that the prayer is an individual thing, isn't it? You got a problem, you didn't talk to God about it. That's individual. But if you're having a good day, how about singing to the Lord? And we're so blessed today because we have so many songs we know that praise God, that can be a part and will make us be elevated and lifted. In private, you can do anything you want. You say, well, can I listen to Bill Gaither? Yeah. Can I sing with Bill Gaither? Yeah. Is it okay to play a cassette and a CD and sing along with it? Sure it is. But that's not corporate worship. You see, in the temple, the reason that there were no instruments in the temple was because they wanted everybody to personally be involved in the worship activity. And that has not changed.
In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, this was in response to chaos in the worship service. Paul says, how is it, brethren, when you come together that everyone wants to contribute a psalm? Okay? People came together. I got a new song I want to teach you. Do we ever do that? Yes, we do that. Sometimes with the book, sometimes without the book. They didn't have books at that time, so what they did was they took the psalms, which they had, and many times somebody would say, you know, I have a psalm that would be particularly appropriate for us right now. Let's sing it together. And they would chant the psalm. That was really what most of that was. You say, well, I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. You can chant. God hears you. He doesn't care whether you're on pitch or not. It's a good thing, because lots of times we're not. God is interested in us being a part of it. He says everybody wants to contribute a psalm, a lesson, a spiritual truth, or an explanation. Let all things be done to the edifying of the church. Did you hear that? Whatever we do in our corporate worship needs to be done to the edifying of the church. If my lessons aren't helping you, if they're not encouraging you, if they're not edifying you, then get rid of me. Because that's what corporate worship is about. Let all things be done decently and in order, he says in verse 40. In Ephesians 5, in verse 19, we're told, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms. There's one kind of way to do it. In hymns, there's another way to do it. And in spiritual songs. Now, if you want a little word study here, the word sing, say speaking to one another, comes from the word ode, O-D-E. It's in this passage. It's in Revelation 5:9. It's in Revelation 14:3 and Revelation 15:3. It involves simply a message. Sometimes we can sing a prayer or a song or a proverb as a chant. We haven't ever done that here. I've been with congregations that have done that. That's singing. The word psalms is a song of praise with or without an instrument. So you can have a psalm in the privacy of your home, but in corporate worship, everybody is to participate. Why? Because listen to what it says. Teaching and admonishing one another. If in our song service there isn't content in our songs, then tear it out of the book. Sing them over again to me. Why? Wonderful words of life. That's teaching. When we all get to heaven, what is that? That's encouragement. That's teaching. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and then hymns. The word hymns comes from hymneo in the Greek. It literally means a song of praise to God. Sometimes our songs should just be praising God. And we have wonderful, wonderful songs for the beauty of the earth. How great thou art. I walk with him and I talk with him. We have gorgeous songs that give us an opportunity to get our minds off of whatever it is that's bugging us and to talk directly to God about the wonderful things he has given us. For the love of parent, child. And the last one is spiritual songs. It's a big, long Greek word, pneumococcus. It literally means a psalm or an ode with a meaning, with a theme. And Bill Gibson demonstrated that gorgeously for us this morning. I want to emphasize again, did you notice that in all of the cases where it's dealing with corporal worship, the statement is teaching one another admonishing one another. Worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is to participate. And we urge you, participate. You say, I can't sing. Yes, you can. Four-part harmony didn't even exist at the time that passage was written. So there's not a person here that can't sing. You say, well, I don't want to sing. You got a heart problem. I hope you can work your way out of it. We need to participate, not just observe. That passage in 1 Corinthians 14 that I read a few minutes ago, verse 26. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Listen to the end of that. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. I hope we always fill that psalm board. Because when we sing, when we lift our voices in praise to God, it is the one time that everything else can be blotted out. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to get the right kind of meat for our picnic Tuesday. I don't have to worry about whether my hands are going to be clean enough to suit Cynthia. I don't have to be concerned about whether we can get this property in a form that will enable us to continue to reach out to the community or not. I pray about that. But I don't have to be concerned about any of those things. Yesterday, we had a special prayer for Sam. She took a test yesterday, as I understand it. I don't know how the test turned out. She probably doesn't yet either. But one of the things that I did was to remember her not only in prayer, but in song. Because that's the time when we can really focus on the things that are needed. And she has been such a worker and such a challenge in so many areas. And she had problems with the test years ago that I thought were unjust, but our songs don't always solve all the issues. But if she gets into this program, we need to be singing praises to God that He gave her the ability and the things fell right for her. And if not, that He will encourage us to support and encourage her as she continues on in her life. I hope that we are not known for a group of people who don't like music, because that is not true. And I encourage you to focus on the positive songs that are out there, with or without instruments or music, about God and about the creation and about family and about joy in the privacy of your home, in class sessions, in situations with our children especially, where they're learning songs, learn them correctly, learn them in a way that they as individuals can sing those songs. But when we come together, let's come together and use singing as a way of strengthening us, building us up, encouraging us, and praising God. Would you bow with me in a closing prayer? Father, thank you so much for creating us with the capacity to sing, creating us with the ability to be encouraged and strengthened and made joyful by our unique ability, because we're in your image, to enjoy the wonderful avenue of song and of singing praises to you. Father, we praise you for our creation, for this aspect of our being. We pray that as we reach out in this community, we will be known as people who glorify you, who are serious about you, and who seize every opportunity to encourage each other and to encourage those who are facing struggles and difficulties in life. Father, thank you for blessing us with a thing called the invitation, where we can sing to those who might have special needs, our willingness to encourage them, to assist them, to pray for them, or to help them in their fundamental obedience to you. And as we do that now, Father, we ask you to bless our efforts to praise you in song and to encourage one another to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.